Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for joining in on this program today, this recording, and we will be going back into the letter M, study number 13, and we are studying missions. We're studying about missions. I think this is about our fourth lesson in this study so far, and we have went over quite a bit of things. I've learned quite a bit on this missions what the scriptures say about missions, haven't you? I got something here I want to read you. It says, when a young minister asked the Duke of Wellington whether he did not consider it useless to attempt to evangelize India, the Iron Duke sternly replied, what are your marching orders, sir? You know, when it comes to missions, let me ask you a question. And we get started here. In your life right this very minute, right this very second, when it comes to your service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not in any means to place any guilt on you or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get you to think about this. Do you know what your orders are from the Lord right now? Do you know what God's will is for you right now? You say, well, Brother TV, I don't exactly know. Well, you know whether you're doing what God has instructed you to do right now. In your life right now, are you at the place where you're supposed to be for the Lord? Well, let me ask you this. In your life right now, are you at the place you're not supposed to be for the Lord? Are you at the place where you're not supposed to be, according to God's will? We either know one of them things or not, you know, and whether you're where you want to be or not is a whole different question. You might want to be over in the Orient trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord hasn't given you orders to do that yet. But you can still... as you want to in your heart, have a burden for people over in the Orient, still be 100% in God's will as far as your mission for Him, sitting at home studying and waiting on Him. It's just as much a mission, a calling for you to mind the Lord when He says, sit still and wait. You see? Missions are, all over the place. The missions means, are you minding the Lord? Are you minding the Lord? Are you where you're supposed to be for the Lord right now? What are your marching orders? What has the Lord ordered you to do? If He's your Lord, then you will take orders and you'll be obedient to Him. What are you supposed to be doing for the Lord right now? Are you obeying His orders? No matter what anybody else is doing. You say, you remember when Peter and John and the disciples were sitting around and Jesus got up, and it was right about after the time that Jesus had asked Peter whether he loved him three times and got Peter mad at him? Well, Jesus got up and walked off, and as he was walking, he looked at Peter and said, follow me. And Peter got up and started following the Lord. And as they was walking, Peter said, Lord. And the Lord looked around and Peter pointed back at John sitting back there where he was. He said, what about this man? And the Lord answered Peter and he said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And you know, when it comes to missions, if the Lord has instructed you and given you orders for something, there shouldn't be anybody, anything, nothing that's keeping you from minding the Lord. So when it comes to this missions, it ain't just missionaries we're studying about missions and we're talking about missionaries being sent out from the church, but we're studying the ABCs of missions. And what missions is according to the scriptures. And we've seen where missions is, how I want to put this. It's in a bigger, it's a bigger area than just one man being called, you see, to some place. So having said that, let's recap just a little bit now. I hope you've been going over the scriptures and reading the scriptures. I believe that you would. And it's God's word, everything. Now you're clean through the words which I through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the Lord always in the scriptures, anytime he talked, he referred everybody, even referred the devil back to the word, to God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What's that tell you? That the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God's Word in an incarnated body. Missions. We talked about the Bible basis for missions, remember? We talked about the Bible plan for missions. We also talked about the biblical challenge for missions. Excuse me. And I think the last two lessons, we were talking about the biblical way to support missions. And we had went over several different things, talking about supporting missions financially. And we've seen what the scriptures had to say about that concerning our attitude and our motive and our purpose for giving to missions, and the way that the Bible instructs us that the Lord would rather have he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, the Lord, he reprimanded a lot of people in the Old Testament for bringing sacrifices to him and being fakes. The Lord's not impressed with anybody bringing gifts to him. And he's certainly not impressed with gifts. If he wanted something, he could snap his fingers, even think about it, and it'd be there. When the Lord, and you're no different, when somebody brings you a gift, you don't want them just bring it and set it on the front door and say, there's your birthday present, and leave. You want to see a little heart in it. You want to see a little person in it, personality in it. You'd rather have the person than you would the gift. The person, the one given the gift's what makes the gift valuable. You see, and the Lord reprimanded people in the Old Testament for bringing gifts and being fakes. And that's certainly not what we want to be when it comes to giving to missions. The Lord said, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, remember? And then we talked about prayer for missionaries, that we should pray for them, and some things that we ought to pray for and pray for them. And I hope that your prayer life is that you're working on it. I mean, the devil gets on you about praying, and he won't leave you alone, and he's going to do anything in the world to try to, every time you get ready to go pray, he's going to say, give you an excuse not to, and try to make you feel guilty and all kinds of stuff, and try to keep you from getting on your knees and praying and talking with your Lord. Tell you that the Lord ain't listening to you, and that you ain't right with the Lord, and you got to get them things right before he tells you all kind of lies. Jesus said there was no truth in him. He says when he opens his mouth, he's a liar. He said there's no truth in him. It's not possible for the devil to tell the truth. So when he's talking to you, he ain't doing nothing but lying, you see. And the idea is for us to resist him and to submit to the Lord. The Lord said if we come unto him, that he'll listen to us, that when we pray, that he'll listen to us and he'll hear us. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The Lord told us that we could do that. So don't quit praying. I hope that you're continuing and you're putting in practice your praying and talking with the Lord, and it'll get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and you'll grow closer to your Lord. All right, we're talking about praying, when the biblical way to support missions. And then we talked about how God blesses a mission-minded church. Remember that? And that Paul was talking about, that Philippian church that gave, and they gave from their poverty. But what made it so special was that they gave with joy, and they gave with cheer, and that they were willing of themselves, and they were just so happy to be able to be part of God's work. There's a whole big difference in feeling that you are privileged in helping somebody than feeling that you are being bothered helping somebody. You see, whole different heart attitude in that, whole different way of thinking in that, and whole different purpose and motive and attitude and everything else. Whole different. And the Lord said He loves a cheerful giver. And you know what? We don't own anything anyway. You don't see anywhere in the Scriptures where the Bible talks about owning something. The Bible talks about you possessing things and having possessions. But possessions are temporary. You don't own them because you don't possess them forever, do you? So you don't own it. Somebody else is going to own it, according to Solomon. He says you're going to heap up riches and then you're going to die, and who's they going to be then? You see? So you shouldn't get so attached to your possessions that you can't turn them loose. You see? If your Lord asks you to turn something loose, you ought to feel privileged about turning it loose. But we have to battle with that, don't we? We have to battle with our greed. We have to battle with our selfishness and battle with this flesh, and everything fights against us. So, yeah, it's a battle. It's a battle to do right. It's a battle to serve the Lord, because the Lord is real and He's authentic. He's genuine. And when we give Him the true service, scripturally, we become genuine and authentic and doing things for the right reasons instead of being fakes, you see. So that's what's wonderful about serving the Lord. So the biblical way to support missions, then we quit, and we talked about that we were going to go into this study, and we was going to start talking about who are some of the missionaries found in the Scriptures. Well, let's look at some of them. First one we're going to look at is Jonah. Jonah was a missionary, remember? The Lord called him out and called him to go and preach to Nineveh. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, it says, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And, of course, we know that he took a detour, but the Lord put him in a class and taught him a few things. And then the next time the Lord called him again, the Bible says, "And the Lord told Jonah the second time, arise and go to Nineveh." And, man, he left a rooster tail going that time, and he got there in minimal amount of time. But Jonah was a missionary, and he went to Nineveh, and he preached to that city, and Jonah didn't like them people he was preaching to. But the Lord, through His mercy and His grace, He wanted to save that town, because He's thinking about destroying it. And He got Jonah to go preach to him, and Jonah went in there, and he was hoping that they would not listen to the preaching, and the Lord would destroy them. But you know what? They turned and they repented, and the city turned back to the Lord, and the Lord forgave them. And that's where the book of Jonah ends, is him sitting up on a hill mad because the Lord saved that city and saved them people. And how them people was mean to the Jews, you see. So Jonah was a missionary in the Scriptures. The next ones we see is the early church. We've been talking about the early church and the beginning of the church with the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and how the church began and all that. The early church, the first members of the church after Jesus started it and the Holy Ghost began to indwell people, the church started, the body of Christ. Well, in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." You see the difference? They were missionaries. They went everywhere preaching the word. The Lord gave the command. The apostles passed it down to the church members. And then they were scattered They were scattered because of persecution, and running. A lot of them was running and hiding from Saul, and they began preaching the word. They said they went everywhere preaching the word. And you notice what they was doing. The significance between Jonah and these first early church members. There's things that that are the same in those scriptures that said it said Jonah went and he preached the word of the Lord, and it said they went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. And notice it said the word. The word of the Lord. And that word "the" means specific. Not just any old word, but it's specific. It's particular. The God's word, you see. Same thing today. Another missionary that's found in the scriptures is Philip. Philip, remember him? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." He went somewhere, and he went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ, which we know is the Word, and preached the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Samaritans. Philip was a missionary. And then we see some other ones in Acts chapter 11 and verse 20. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." Preaching the Lord Jesus. They went to, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, they began to preach to the Grecians. And they preached the Lord Jesus, the Bible says. They preached the Lord Jesus. The Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And that's what they were doing. And that's what they're doing today. Missions. Isn't it amazing how the Lord, I don't know how people could deny the Lord to begin with and say that he's not real and deceive themselves. You have to really, really, really work on deceiving yourself to say that God's not real and that he don't exist. It's by his mercy he lets you flap that across your tongue saying that kind of stuff. It's by his mercy. And the Lord says everybody's without excuse, and they know he exists. They know he's there. And they're without excuse, said nature itself doth teach us, you know. But when it comes to missions, it's amazing that the early church, beginning right there when Jesus ascended, around A.D. 33, 34, I think something around there, maybe even more than that, said he was there for 40 days after his resurrection. But right around that time, from then until 2019, the same message is still here. Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. The same message. Been around for 2,000 years so far, and over 2,000 years, and hadn't changed the message yet. And managed to go through however many Christians passed it down through missions of preaching the word and preaching the gospel, and passed it down, passed it to us for 2,000 years, been passing it and passing it and passing it and preaching the word, and people have been getting saved, and we preach the same word today. And if we was to walk up and shake hands with Brother Stephen, that was martyred, stoned to death, and shake hands with him and begin to talk to him, and he lived way back there during Jesus' time, our hearts would bear witness with him, and we would believe the same thing about the same person. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Only God could do something like that. Man can't make nothing last 200 years. I think I heard a preacher say one time a book is lucky to go 100 years. If all the books that are written, they usually phase out over a period of time. You know, they'll sell for a while and be popular for a while, but after a certain while, they're gone and forgotten. He said the best book lasts maybe 100 years. Our Bible that we have in our hands has been around since the New Testament, since 1611, hadn't it? In the English language, yep. But missionaries, amazing how the Lord does this thing through, and he's been using sinners to do it. And where we make mistakes and working through all of our personalities and working through all the different individuals and coming down to us 2019 and getting the gospel in the hearts and the minds of the people and getting people saved and God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and us preaching to other people and being a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But missionaries, here's some other ones. We talked about the ones, some of them from Cyrene became missionaries when they went to Antioch and preached. Okay, the next ones we read about before was in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 through 5, and you'll remember this from a little bit earlier on one of the other recordings. It said, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So we see there that Paul and Barnabas, and the Bible even goes into detail of how they began and how they were called of the Holy Ghost, specifically out of the church that had more people in it than Paul and Barnabas. It was the church members there in that assembly, but there was also other ministers and other teachers and other preachers there. But the Lord specifically chose specific people, and we see that that is scriptural, and it does happen, and it's still happening today. That's why we got missionaries in just about every country around the world. I say every country. I say most of them. I ain't got no idea where missionaries are not, but somebody that's smarter than me probably knows more about that. But in today's society and the transportation, and the only thing that's holding the gospel back is atheism and communism and people that hate God. That's the only thing that's holding, and the devil. That's the only thing that's holding the gospel from any country in this world, is that it's not welcome. It's not because it's not possible for it to get there. I would say within 24, well, maybe even less than that, I'd say within 18 hours, the Bible could be in any place in the country, or any place in the world. I don't know how long it takes to go around the world, but I'd say within 24 hours, wouldn't you? Within 24 hours, the Bible could be anywhere. The gospel could be anywhere if it was welcome and it wasn't obstructed, being forbidden and resisted. That's the only thing holding the gospel back from being all over the earth. But it is. It's everywhere. We live in the time and the dispensation right toward the end times. We're right before the Lord is going to, when that tribulation starts, we're right in that area right there. And all we got is just for the devil himself to step out and the Antichrist to step out. And when that happens, We're out of here. But it ain't but 7 years from there, and you know what's going to happen then. But that's how close we are with the gospel. The Lord said that the gospel was going to be preached in everywhere on the earth. And we ain't far from saying that that prophecy's come to pass, because it is everywhere. There's a generation coming up now, the children that are coming up now, that in the United States, that you can actually ask. Now, I say this in respect of it's just now starting, but there's a generation coming up, not my generation and our generation, but and not the one behind us, but the one behind them, like your grandchildren. That generation coming up right there, it's possible for you to go up and ask one of them something about Jesus Christ, and they'll say, "Who's Jesus Christ?" Mm-hmm. That's how it is in the United States right now. Jesus Christ is being completely forgotten. And the only thing the children are seeing in that generation is opposition in the government and all the legalities that are going to get, that are trying to get Jesus Christ and the Word of God out of society. And they're seeing the battle, you see. That's what's going on now, right now, right now, as we speak. But the word is getting out because of missions and because God the Holy Ghost indwells us and He gives us orders and gives us missions to do for Him. They could be little short missions that don't take long to do, and then it could be where they go and spend the rest of their life over in a country for a people. Excuse me. But we see in the scriptures where Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, when they went out on a mission, the Bible tells us that when they finished and they returned, they had completed what the Lord had told them to do. So we see that there were missions that the Holy Ghost sent specific people on to accomplish and to return. You see, all missions from the Lord are not permanent as far as the rest of your life. The Lord might just want to get something accomplished for a temporary time, or just get something done and use you to do it, and then you're sitting again and you're waiting for your orders, waiting for the next orders. And there's a lot of preachers and teachers, and the more mature you get in the Lord, the more you learn that you have to sit and wait. And the Lord will call upon you to do something for Him, and away you go. And it'll last as long as the Lord wants it to last, and get His will done and accomplished, and you'll be obedient to do the very best you can for Him, and then when it's done, then you'll be sitting again. And He'll give you something to do while you're sitting, maybe studying or getting in His Word and really studying or something or whatever. But missions, you see. Another missionary that's found in the Bible is Peter. Remember Peter? Peter? In Acts chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." And the Lord did. Remember when Peter was visiting, he was up on the roof, and the Lord told him about the food and brought the animals down three different times and showed him. He said, don't call anything common that the Lord isn't common. Anyway, he was changing Peter's mind and his thinking about the Jews and the Gentiles. And he was saying, "Now I'm going to let the Gentiles in on this salvation." And that's right about when that Gentile, the men that was sent out by that Gentile, came and got Peter, and he came down off the roof, and they said, "This man wants to see you." So Peter went with him, and the first thing he done when he got there was preach the gospel, and those men got saved. And Peter found out that the Lord had given salvation by grace to the Gentiles. And guess what? That's us. We're not Gentiles now that we're saved. We're in the body of Christ. We are saints. But you was a Gentile. If you was not a Jew, you was a Gentile when you got saved. You see. So praise the Lord for that, huh? That Peter minded the Lord. And minded the Lord. We don't know where we'd be if he'd disobeyed. I'm sure the Lord might have got somebody else. But Peter was always ready to raise up for the Lord, wasn't he? Another missionary found in the scriptures, his name is Apollos. Apollos, and we find him in Acts chapter 18, verse 27 and 28. It says, "And when he had disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." You see, notice that the scriptures are in these verses. The Bible's not ashamed to talk about itself, because it's God's word that has the power behind it, and they were using the scriptures. Jesus said, "Ye do err not knowing the scriptures," you see. And that's what we're studying right now, because we're instructed and commanded to know God's word. That's why we're going over it right now, and we're finding out what the Bible says. Not what society says, not what people think, and not what people suppose. Not what's written on the billboards. Not what's in some of the tracts, but what does the Bible say? And a lot of times it says something different than what all them say. You see, so we want to know what God says. And the way that we know what God says is by reading God's word. You see. And that's what we want. Now, another missionary that's found in the scriptures, you know him. It was Noah. It was Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, listen what it says. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Excuse me. Now you think about that. Noah and seven other people, his family, was the only ones that was saved in the destruction of the entire world. Think about that for a minute. Now, I believe the Bible, and I believe that really happened. I don't have any problem believing that. I know it happened. But you sit and evaluate that for a minute. Think about it, if the Lord instructed you and seven members of your family to build a boat and tell people, start telling people that God's going to destroy this place, and you better get ready to get on the boat, and they're laughing at you and joking with you and think you're an idiot, and you're up there building this big old boat, and then one day you start loading animals on it. People out there laughing at you. Wickedness all over the place, and God's mad at them because they're so wicked. And then the Lord tells him, load up. All of them get on the boat. And then the rains come, and all the water starts coming up out of the ground. And you can imagine them people out there beating on the side of that boat and everything else and wanting in, and what they was listening to, you know, and stuff like that. But Noah preached. It said he was a preacher of righteousness. Righteousness. You ought not be ashamed of righteousness. You ought to be glad to do right, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody make you ashamed of doing right. That's what this world does, is try to make you feel ashamed for doing right. And you ought not be ashamed of the Lord, and you ought not be ashamed of doing right in front of him. And if they don't like it, too bad. Blow it out of your nose. You know? The Lord is right. And the Bible says, let the Lord be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. So we see the missionaries there, the missionaries found in the scriptures. And let's look now at the Lord Jesus Christ and his mission when he came. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of the most important things that he done here as we read and we learn the scriptures, but we learn it in the ABC manner. One of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ done, the main thing that he done, was that he made way for us to be able to be saved. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, the Lord came to do a lot more things that a lot of people don't know about that the Bible teaches. The Lord was accomplishing a lot of things while he was here. For 3.5 years, the Lord fulfilled a lot of prophecies. There's over 800 prophecies. I think maybe more than that, over 800 prophecies that the Lord, that are already fulfilled and or either going to be fulfilled in the future. There's over 300 of them that was fulfilled while the Lord was here, I think is what I read, and that there's over 500 that are still yet to be fulfilled. So, you see, there's a lot of missions in those prophecies, a lot of things that are going to be accomplished. A prophecy is something that is foretold of something that ain't happened yet that's going to happen. And when it comes to pass, it's fulfilled. It's a fulfilled prophecy. So that's a mission that the Lord has put in, and he said it's going to happen, and it comes to pass, and it has a purpose, and it has a reason. So the Lord Jesus Christ had a lot of missions while he was here. Let's go over a couple of them, you want to? One thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his missions was to do God's will. The Lord never thought about himself when he was here. I heard a man say one time, a preacher that I admire, when he was teaching about esteem, how you esteem yourself. How am I supposed to think about myself? How am I supposed to esteem myself? He said, well, the Bible teaches that you're not supposed to have high esteem of yourself, thinking that you're somebody, and thinking, it said, be careful for us to, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Not high esteem. Then the Bible says we're not supposed to have low esteem. We're not supposed to walk around whining and sorrowing and about ourselves all the time, thinking that we're lower and we're not worth nothing and blabbity blabbity blab and all that. And we're not supposed to have low esteem. And he said, well, what are you supposed to have then? And he said, we're supposed to have no esteem. N-O. No esteem. We're not supposed to think about ourselves at all. We're supposed to spend our time thinking about others. We're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. Well, I don't know. I don't know how I'm doing. Well, how you doing? I don't know. I don't think about myself. I don't know how I'm doing. I'm thinking about everybody else. That's how we're supposed to be. That's how Jesus was when he was here. One of Jesus' missions was to do the Father's will. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 38, it says Jesus was talking. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's what the Lord said. And he did it too, didn't he? He did it to the letter. To the letter. The Lord Jesus Christ came down to do the Father's will. He had a mission to fulfill the Father's will. What was the last thing he said on the cross before he gave up the ghost? It is finished. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Father's will. It's finished. I did it. I finished what the Lord said, what my Father sent me here to do. And he did. He did finish it. Another thing the Lord Jesus Christ's mission was when he was here was to save sinners. When he started his ministry right there, when he got baptized and he began, the first thing he done was went out and started preaching. Started preaching and converting people. The Bible said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the Lord Jesus Christ's missions was while he was here for that 3.5 years on the earth during his ministry was to get the gospel to the people and give them opportunity to receive him as Savior and be saved and believe on him. To seek and to save that which was lost. That was one of the Lord's missions. Another mission that the Lord had was to bring in everlasting righteousness. You know, without the Lord Jesus coming, there was no way for righteousness to be back. When it was lost in Eden, there was, and sin was found out about where it was not supposed to be found out about, and it was in the tree of knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not supposed to. God never intended for us to know what evil was. But when man fell and he obtained the knowledge of good and evil, then righteousness fell. And that's what society is about now. And there's no righteousness out there with exception of God the Holy Ghost and what he does and the work he does. And the mission that he has here. But the Lord Jesus Christ, during his ministry, one of his missions was to bring in everlasting righteousness. And it still is. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, this is what Daniel was praying about the Jews and asking the Lord, what's going to happen to my people, to the Jews? And the Lord's answering him right now, and he's telling him, this is the time, and this is what's going to happen through time, and this is what's going to happen. And through this verse, he's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. You see, when that millennium gets here, the Lord's going to rapture us out of here, and we're going to spend 7 years in heaven with him. With a marriage feast and a marriage that goes on, and then the judgment seat of Christ. And then Christ's going to come back here and straighten everybody up. And then he's going to set up a kingdom down here, the kingdom of heaven. And he's going to set that up down here, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem on the throne of David. And he's going to rule and reign, and the earth ain't going to be like it is now. Society ain't going to have a choice of whether they like living by righteousness or not. The rule is righteousness. And it's going to be everlasting righteousness from then on. You see, the Bible says in Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. In other words, to take care of the sin problem and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets what's coming to him, and he deserves it. He came and done everything for us, didn't he? He made it to where we could have eternal life and that we could live in righteousness with him. And ever shall we be with the Lord, the Bible says. We got everything to look forward to because of what Jesus has done. Another thing that the Lord came and one of his missions was not only to do God's will and to save sinners and to bring in everlasting righteousness, but was to destroy Satan's works. Now, Satan's running around and he's busy doing what he's doing right now, and he's getting away with it because in a certain manner he's getting away with it. He has to have God's permission about a lot of things, but he's getting away with it right now, he thinks. But he knows what's coming. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." So see, we're reading in our Bible right now to where in Hebrews the Bible says that one of the missions of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down here and being born of a virgin and incarnated into a fleshly body and God in the flesh. And Jesus is the name of a man. Jesus was 100% man. And he came down here. God came down and he incarnated into a man. And Jesus lived as a man here on the earth. And one of the reasons that he done it was so he could go, and that through death, through him sacrificing that human body, and through death and bringing God's blood and shedding God's blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which was the devil that had the power of death. That is the devil. So one of the missions of the Lord Jesus Christ is to destroy Satan's works. And ain't you going to be glad of that? Man, can you imagine what it'd be like just to have Satan gone? And have all his ministers gone, all the devils that aggravate us day and night? And when you try to do something good and try to do something right before the Lord and you always get in opposition. And then have all these God-hating people that out here that running around and thinking that they're going to get away with all this stuff and loving wickedness and loving the devil and everything else and all this stuff. Thinking that stuff's going to last. Because it ain't. The Lord Jesus Christ, one of his missions was to come and destroy those works. And they're going to be destroyed. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. Well, you know what? We got some more that I want to look at there. What were some of the Lord Jesus Christ's missions? We talked about five of them there. And we have a few more that we need to go over. But I think that what we're going to do is we're going to stop right there. And we're going to wait until the next program, the next recording. And we'll pick up right there and go on and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ's missions while he was here. Then we're going to talk about, after that, what are some motives that prompt missions. Several motives that are in the scriptures that prompt missions. And we'll go over that. And what does a missionary need to be equipped with? What do missionaries need to do their work? And we've already talked about money and things like that, and prayer and stuff like that. But what's the main things that a missionary needs to complete the missions that God sends him on? We'll talk about that. So good study today, and we have so far today talked about who were some of the missionaries that were found in scriptures. And we've seen a bunch of them. And the Bible's not ashamed to mention people that have done work for the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord's not ashamed of us either. And I'm glad of that, ain't you? I'm glad we ain't got a God that's ashamed of us. And we shouldn't be ashamed of him either. And we talked about what were some of the Lord Jesus Christ's missions. And I find that exciting, what the Lord Jesus Christ. I love hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished while he was here. And there's so many things that he did. And some things that I'm still finding out about, which is tremendous. I mean, when he came, he not only came down here to do that work for us, to take care of giving us eternal life through believing on him through grace. But he also came down here to deal specifically with Israel. And he came down here to deal with the devil. And he came down here to obey his Father and to bring in everlasting righteousness. The Lord was dealing with eternal things when he came. He wasn't dealing with temporary things. We live in temporary. We live in time. God lives in eternity. Jesus humbled himself and came into time, you see. And that's amazing in itself, isn't it? Okay. Well, we're going to find out more in the next program. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. If you got your pencils ready. Let's see. Who are some of the missionaries found in the scriptures? We'll begin there. I think that's where we left off. The first one is Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Another one is Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And then the next verse after that was Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Both of those talked about men that were missionaries or done missions for the Lord. And Acts chapter 11, verse 20. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Acts chapter 18, verse 27 and 28. What's that telling you about the book of Acts? It's a transitional book, isn't it? It goes from the law to grace. Mm-hmm. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's like one of them old teeter-totters that you sit on. What was them things called? A seesaw or whatever? Where you sit on it and you try to hang on to it, because if you ever let it go, the guy on the other end goes down, it'll whop you in the hind end right quick. Remember that? It'll launch you off of it or something. But anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And then we talked about several things that were the Lord Jesus Christ's mission. Here's some of the scriptures for that. John chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And that's where we stopped. And we'll pick up right in there on our next program, okay? Well, thank you so much for being faithful to the Lord and faithful to want to study God's Word and to discipline yourself to get in God's Word. Sometimes it's just as sweet as it can be, like bread and honey, a warm piece of bread with some honey on it. And sometimes it's like trying to pull a mule out of the field, wondering what you've been taught, but it's all profitable. And God's Word always comes together, and it just like you fold in your hands together, it just comes together so sweet. And you never learning any of God's Word is not vain at all. It's all profitable, especially when you have sincerity and truth behind it in your heart, and you mean it. The Lord very tender to people that sincerely want His Word and want to know His Word and want to know Him. Those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. All right. Well, you have a wonderful afternoon, and thank you for having a Bible study with me today about the ABCs of Christian growth and missions. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.